Welcome to the Faith Flex Podcast, your sanctuary for soulful exploration and practical wisdom, where spiritual growth joins together with the hustle of daily life. I'm your host, Monica Roxanne. I'm so glad you decided to join me and countless others because this is your moment for reflection, for growth, for real life change. Whether you're seeking a whisper of inspiration or a robust blueprint for action, the Faith Flex Podcast stands as a testament to the daring spirit within all of us. So, to my pursuers and my dreamers, to my doers and believers, our journey awaits. Welcome. Hey fam, and welcome to another episode on the Faith Flex Podcast. I'm your girl, your host, Monica Roxanne, and today we're going to talk about grace-filled relationships, nurturing connections. We're going to talk about relationships, y'all. How do we nurture relationships? We can't do life by ourselves. We weren't built to do life by ourselves. We weren't created to be alone and isolated. So I know it's easy, but there is good biblical principles about grace-filled relationships, how we should nurture our relationships with one another, how we should connect. And so building relationships is so important to the kingdom because we cannot do life alone. So let's talk about relationships. Relationships are connections and interactions between individuals that are categorized by emotional bonds, mutual support, and shared experiences. We build relationships on emotions, we build relationships on mutual supports, ideas, and beliefs, and we build relationships based on shared experiences. And so when we are connected in relationship with someone, they really come in varying forms, right? So relationships are not just intimate, but they're like friendships, family ties, romantic partnerships, community affiliations. Relationships are your coworkers, your job, your teams, your groups, your schools, all of that. Relationships are a essential component in our everyday. And being able to cultivate, nurture, grow, mature, remove, disconnect from some relationships that are not healthy for you or they've out of season, it is important for our everyday walk. And so, of course, the Bible talks about relationships. The Bible teaches us how to be in good relationship, not with just our families, but with one another, those who are in our communities, but also be in good relationship with ourselves and with the God we serve. So let's just jump in it. Here's a thought. So the thought is grace-filled relationships are not built on perfection, but they really are built on mutual understanding of our need for forgiveness and a commitment to extending grace to one another. Oftentimes we build relationships because out of either, you know, again, family or friendships that we have a mutual support for or share experiences, or we just feel like there's a connection between the individual because they're either a life partner or a destiny partner. And so when we build relationships on the person who and their authentic self, not looking for the perfect partner, not looking for the perfect life partner, or looking for the perfect friend or the perfect spouse, is about really building relationships so that there's a mutual understanding. And so the Bible really talks about building relationship. Relationship is a God designed for humanity. We were built to be in a community. We were not to be isolated. Is it easy to be isolated? Absolutely. But when God created Adam, he said, it's not good for you to be alone. So he created someone else. Now, if we note the scripture well, we note that Adam didn't ask for a friend. He didn't ask for extra help. Adam just took the bull by the horn and started naming animals and started tending to the earth and operating in his God-given purpose. But the Lord saw that it was not good for him to be alone. So he gave him a helpmeet. He gave him a spouse. It wasn't by the bequest of Adam, because Adam was like, hey, you know, God got me and I'm going to handle business. But he was like, no, you can't be by yourself. I need, you know, everybody else got a pair. I need you to have one. And so I think we've over desensitized the need for community and building relationships. And the reason for that is that we as humanity are still maturing. we have made so many mistakes when it comes to trying to survive, or in the name or the guise of trying to survive, where we've mishandled people. So either we should have spoken up in a situation for someone, we should have told the truth and we let someone else take the fall, or we've walked away from someone where we shouldn't have. We may have committed some indiscretion against someone. And so we have fractured the belief system of relationship among humanity because we just have not grown up and matured well over time. And we even see that in the Bible, where so many relationships were manipulated. People's trust were broken. People's ignorance were taken advantage of. And so it is easier to keep us divided out of fear of being hurt. So we refuse to be in community or relationship. And I believe that we have allowed the devil to even increase that level of perversion in our perspective, because even for some who don't want to do right, we prefer to be by ourselves so we could control the narrative, our own story, because we are unwilling to be accountable or responsible to someone else. The Bible is clear that in the, there's safety in the multitude of wise counsel. But if you don't want a multitude of people or being in a community of people that are going to hold you accountable for your actions, for your belief systems, for your thoughts, and hopes that you will grow into who God's called you to be, then you are now disconnecting yourself out of selfishness because you don't want to build a relationship with people because you feel like you have to control the narrative. That's so contrary to the word of God, because he truly believes in relationships. It started in the first chapter of Genesis. He says, it is not good for man to be alone. And so there's so many different types of bonds and relationships. So you have the bond of a family, then you have our relationships of family, you have the relationship of your church fellowship in the community, you have the relationship of your work, your coworkers, of community boards, of romantic relationships. There's so many different levels of relationships that we need to nurture as we are pursuing God's grace and his mercy through our lives, walking in destiny and purpose. But scripture really highlights, when it's talking about relationships, the significance of love and compassion, and really understanding that relationship helps unify and fosters meaningful connections. So if we travel through the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, we can see where when people came together, they were able to make things happen. When things needed to be changed, rules have to be changed, there needed to be a shift in a dynamic, it was the people that came together that impacted change. Even in our history, when we needed a shift in our economic society, where we have equality and equity, there were groups of people that came together to make that happen. Community relationships are critically important in our everyday lives. And it's so important that we nurture them well. But in order for that to happen, we have to be healthy. We have to look at relationships as well as we look at our bodies, how we keep ourselves fit and exercise, and we study and we watch what we eat. If we can't nurture relationships well, then we're not going to get further as far as we want in life, because in order for us to get further in life, it's going to take a community. That is why the Bible says that the body of Christ has many hands, has many members. So there's all of us are working together for what? One goal, and that's for the advancement of the kingdom. So relationships are important. And so how does relationships impact our lives? So relationships have a profound influence on our lives, on our experiences. If we grow up in a healthy family environment, you tend to have really good, healthy individuals, citizens who contribute to society well and affect positive impact. If you grow up in a traumatic home or you've had a traumatic experience, it impacts you so much that you'll see it shape your attitude, shape your behavior, shape your overall perspective of life, because relationships and experiences all coincide with one another. Your relationship influences your experiences, which influence the way you see a thing, or you how you think, how you feel, which in turn can affect you in your physical being. All of this plays a such a critical point in humanity, and it plays a part in your life. And so positive relationships really help with the emotional support. Positive relationships are encouraging. Positive relationships are, create a sense of belonging. While if you're not careful, you can be in a toxic relationship that can stress you out, increase your anxiety, and send you into an emotional roller coaster. That is not what God has called us for. Relationships should be supportive. Because if we use Adam and Eve as a framework, it was all about support and even trust. And even in Eve's failure to Adam, offer him the apple from the tree of life, even in that failure where it cost not just him, but all of humanity, listen, there was still a relationship. Not one time, I want you to hear me, did we hear or see in the word that Adam dismissed, disregarded, or threw away Eve. Even after this horrible situation that she essentially got us into, right? He didn't disown her. He didn't stop loving her and caring for her. He didn't stop providing for her, acknowledging her as his helpmate. He understood that we are a partner in this. So right, wrong, or indifferent, we're going to rock together. And so positive, good, healthy relationships provide that level of support and encouragement and sense of belonging, because that's what God calls us to. That's the Old Testament, Adam and Eve. But we go into the New Testament. When Christ was among us, he said, I want to be in relationship with you. And so I like to jump to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. And it says, whoever walks with the wise become wise, but the companion of a fool will suffer harm. So relationships have a huge impact on your life. So we have to be very careful who we connect with, who's in our circle, who we're, developing either soul ties with, or, the codependency. Like, we have to steward our relationships well, because as Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, whoever walks with the wise become wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. That means that whoever you are walking with, I like to say whoever you're rocking with, will impact your life, influence you either positively or negatively. So we have to be very careful. Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So as we've said in previous episodes that, we're imperfect beings. We all are trying to figure this journey out. So as imperfect beings, we are called to extend grace to one another, recognizing that we are too recipients of God's divine grace. Like, before we cast judgment on a person into condemnation, right? Because you can judge a person, but you're only judging them based on the measure of their works. That means I'm measuring you what you're showing me. But we don't get to judge them all the way into the death of them, which is condemnation, that we are ending their story because they've made a mistake. That's not our call, nor is that our responsibility. What we are is to accept the fact that we're all imperfect and that we should extend grace to one another, talking about forgiveness and love and compassion and grace, because we need the same love, compassion, and grace and forgiveness from Christ. If we need it from him, he expects us to extend it to others. Because by embodying Christ-like compassion and forgiveness, we reflect God's redemptive work in our relationships, and we foster restoration and healing. So many times we've missed opportunities because we're not embodying God's compassion and forgiveness for others. I am a product of that, meaning there have been times where people who should not have forgiven me have. And because of their forgiveness, I've been able to forgive myself. And because of that, I am now propelled into my next. But it's because they decided to extend compassion and grace, even though I may or may not have deserved it. What could you do in your own life where, there are people that may or may not deserve your love or grace or forgiveness? But as we've talked about in previous episodes, listen, it's not even for them. It's really for you, because it doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. It's all about God's redemptive love and us showing that among his people. So I like to state that nurturing connections in a grace-filled relationship means prioritizing empathy, forgiveness, and understanding, just as Christ has shown us through his grace. So when you're nurturing relationships, we really should be trying to prioritize empathy, which requires us to listen and to understand. We also should be willing to forgive. And that's tough when someone has wounded you deeply and it takes time. But don't give up and let go of the grace of forgiveness. And then understanding, because the same thing that we are extending to others, God will give to us if we do it for his people. And so I think there's two components here. One is to figure out how to let go of bad relationships, because you may be in a relationship that you're struggling with, and then how to nurture and identify a good relationship. So let's talk about how to let go of a bad relationship. First is to recognize the signs of toxicity and dysfunction. I know this is tough. Sometimes in the faith-based community, we have over-spiritualized people's bad behaviors. Oh, the Lord's going to fix it. I'm going to put the word on him or her. And really? No, that's not how it works. We have to just go ahead and acknowledge, recognize that there is some severe issues or concerns that maybe you're not going to be able to fix or correct or adjust or make it better, that this individual may need to get professional help. But until they do, you may need to disconnect. It is so essential that you acknowledge and identify any warning signs of a toxic and dysfunctional relationship, because these are the signs that may help you prevent you from being hurt. And so this could include any signs of manipulation, emotional abuse, lack of trust, a consistent pattern of disrespect. And by you recognizing these types of red flags, you really empower yourself to make informed decisions about the health of your relationships. Because remember that grace-filled relationships are not built on perfection, but just a mutual understanding of our need for forgiveness and a commitment to extending grace to one another. So we can't have dysfunction and be in a dysfunctional relationship or toxic relationship that shows a constant pattern of disrespect and emotional abuse, because that's not what God is calling us to do when it comes to building good, healthy relationships. Second is to set healthy boundaries to protect your own well-being. And so part of that is saying, listen, I need to establish some clear and firm boundaries because it's crucial to protect your emotional and mental health in any relationships. And that's even going, starting a new relationship, getting to know people in a new relationship. You have to know what your boundaries are. If you have no boundaries, then people are going to just bulldoze you. So establish healthy boundaries to protect yourself and your well-being. So that's one of the ways of letting go of bad relationships. One is to recognize the dysfunction and the toxicity. The other is to set healthy boundaries to protect your well-being. Third is to communicate. You have to communicate openly and assertively about your needs and your concerns. Because one of the things that we have done that has been such a disservice to the body of Christ is we've over-spiritualized things. And oftentimes we're not dealing with issues head on because we're like, God's not a God of confusion. You're right. He's not a God of confusion. That's why you address an issue head on. I mean, God addressed the Pharisees and Sadducees head on with the word. You have to address issues and concerns head on, using effective communications. It's just absolutely key to addressing issues and resolving conflict in relationships. Express your needs and feelings and your concerns openly and honestly. Because even in that, you also have to actively listen to the other person's perspective. So you have to communicate well, and then you have to listen well. But make sure that you are assertive to ensure that your voice is being heard and respected. And then hopefully it's going to foster a mutual understanding and growth. But if you're not getting that, or you're not communicating well and openly, you may not be in a good relationship. You may not be a good person to be in a relationship with if you're not communicating well as yourself. So, again, if you want to let go of a bad relationship, but you are, or you're trying to wondering if what is a bad relationship, the first thing is to identify there if there's any huge signs of dysfunction or toxicity, but and then also set some clear, healthy boundaries. But the next is to communicate openly and assertively about your needs and concerns. Next, if you're still having struggles, seek guidance from a spiritual leader or counsel. It is important that we stop trying to do it on our own. And yes, we go out, we seek after God in prayer and in fasting and supplication, but God has also given leaders with good counsel and wisdom on this earth. Use them. Seeking guidance from trusted spiritual leaders and mentors and professional counselors are valuable. Okay. They're going to give you valuable insight and support as you navigate through a difficult relation dynamic. And that's especially important in marriages or people who are looking to be married. It's important to get good counsel and continue to get good counsel. I just can't stress it enough. It's so important. And then last but not least, if you're dealing with a bad relationship, always, 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 always practice self-care and prioritize your emotional healing. You have to let it go. If it's a relationship, your heart might be attached to it. Your soul might be attached to it. But you won't exist in God's fullness and joy if you don't let it go. Prioritize your own emotional health. Prioritize your self-care as you disengage unhealthy relationships. Engage in activities that are going to, you know, restore your mind, your body, your soul, like exercising and meditating and journaling. Because when you disconnect from a toxic relationship or dysfunctional relationship, it's going to feel like somebody ripped a hole in you. There's going to be this emptiness, but this is the perfect time for you to build yourself up. Go in, do the self-care. Allow yourself the time and space to process your emotions. Grieve any loss. For the love of heaven, all things great. Please grieve the loss. I don't care if it's toxic or not. It is a loss. So please grieve it if necessary. And then cultivate a journey of resilience so that you can be your best self for your next relationship. And then so that's how to let go of a bad relationship. Now I want to jump into something positive, and that's how to identify a really good relationship. Well, the first way to identify a good relationship is to really assess the level of mutual respect and support, because a healthy relationship is really built on mutual respect, shared experiences, and the same values. So if both parties like have the same values and thoughts and feelings and boundaries, then you might be heading in a good relationship. Look for signs of genuine care. You know, the person who has empathy. Make sure you're a person that has empathy. Support your friend, your partner, and then celebrate their successes and then help them navigate through their challenges, right? So assess mutual respect and support. Next is evaluate effective communications and conflict resolution. If you are trying to figure out if this is a good relationship, and this is not just a romantic relationship I'm talking about, this is all relationships. If you are going to, I like to say, hit your hip and wagon to somebody, regardless if it's a friendship relationship, it's your coworker relationships, or if it's a romantic relationship, these steps are going to help you guide you through relationships well. Communication is essential for fostering understanding and building some form of intimate respect for one another. Even if it's your friendship or, you know, life partners, friends, or community, advocate, whatever it is, when you start to build friendships, make sure you remember to communicate openly, honestly, and respectfully to one another. And then make sure that the person that you're engaging with also does the same to you, because we want to make sure that in a healthy relationship that you and that individual is prioritizing active listening. And again, that you have empathy, they have empathy, and that you guys can come together and collectively solve problems. Because if we can do that well, most likely there's a lot of room for growth, and you may not have the capacity to help the person to grow. So please remember, it's not your job to fix everyone. It's us to love them, to walk with them until our season is up. The third perspective is to consider your shared values and goals. So if you're starting a new relationship in whatever level that is in, think about the framework of your goals and values and building meaningful and fulfilling relationships. So, and it's really, really important that you consider those shared values and goals, because that's going to foster harmony and unity. Now, is it perfect? No, you know, but again, we talked about, do you guys share good values? I mean, the same values and goals. Next is reflect on feeling of joy and fulfillment with relationships. Are you happy about it? Listen, if the relationship is stressing you out, you have anxiety, you're frustrated, all the opposite of anything positive, then that's not a good relationship. A good relationship should bring you joy, fulfillment, a sense of emotional well-being. There should be laughter, connection, and shared experiences. Why? Because we are to do life together. So assess that. Like, are we vibing? Do I enjoy being in your presence? Do you enjoy being in my presence? Some people are good for like 5 minutes. They're like, okay, enough. I've had enough relationship conversation. But there's some people, probably like myself, who enjoys people's presence. So, you have to find that ebb and flow between having good friends, good partners, good colleagues, all of those things. And then last but not least, if you are trying to navigate and you're not sure, what did I say? Always seek counsel. Go and find good counsel from a trusted mentor, friend. Share your thoughts and your concerns because listen, they will give you valuable insight. Now, here's the thing about mentors and advisors. If you feel like your advisor is not actively listening, they may not be the advisor for you. Because again, every single person, mentors and advisors as well, we're all trying to figure it out. And sometimes a mentor may be a great career mentor, but they may not be the best spiritual mentor. So make sure you're assessing the capacity of your mentors and advisors so that you get the right counsel that's necessary. So I hope that's blessing you guys. We talked about how to let go of bad relationship and how to identify good relationships because we want to live and build good, grace-filled relationships. And if you want some in-depth knowledge and walkthrough on relationships, I recommend that you check out this book called Relational Intelligence by Dr. Darius Daniels. Dr. Daniels really emphasizes the importance of understanding the dynamics of relationships, including the various types of relationships that we're going to encounter in our lives, such as friendships and family relationships and romantic partnerships and professional connections. And he dives into this book, into the complexities of human interaction and the impact of relational dynamics on personal growth and fulfillment. So that is Relational Intelligence by Dr. Darius Daniel. Make sure you check out the book. I love that book. I actually read that book once a year because I really just think that there's so many nuggets in this book that really highlights and brings forth knowledge and wisdom understanding so that we can build good nurturing relationships. So again, it's not just the persons that you're trying to be in a relationship with. It's also, are you a good person to be in a relationship with? And part of that is pursuing God's word, studying, and making sure that you're on getting good counsel. So with all of that being said, I hope this episode blessed you. And if it did, remember to like, share, and subscribe. And I hope you join me next week for another episode as we continue to flex our faith. Until next time, thanks everybody. And that's a wrap on today's soul-stirring episode of the Faith Flex Podcast. I hope you're leaving feeling uplifted and equipped to turn your everyday experience into stepping stones for spiritual growth and practical living. Thank you for tuning in and sharing your time with me. Be sure to subscribe, share it with your friends, and leave a review if you enjoy the journey today. Your support means the world to me, and it helps bring this message to more listeners who are searching for harmony between their spiritual walk and action. Until next time, remember to flex your faith.